Young, and you're watching Shootin' Shit.
Hey, fucking Gage. I represent the Murder That Kill gang. You're watching Shootin' the Shit. And if you're not watching Shootin' the Shit, I'm probably in your house robbing you. So watch that shit or I'll rob your motherfucking house. MDK all fucking day.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
I just want to get going.
No, dude. Okay. He'll wait to go take a shit when you're... When you give your final thought, then he'll go
take a shit. I can't wait for your final thoughts when I go take a squirt.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You use that time. Anyways, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's kind of like a girls' match on a pay-per-view, right, when you're talking?
I appreciate that.
It depends on the match.
Dude, what is going on? You got sand in your vagina? You've been really sensitive the last few weeks. Are you feeling lonely? What's the matter, Puddin'?
Don't understand it anymore. Know why I do this now. Anyways, this is episode 108, ladies and gentlemen. We are.
You know what I don't understand? How does your fro grow straight up?
I wish I knew that. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like fucking straight up, man. Like most people's fro like grows out. Yours is like a shrub.
The sides will not grow until it's like all the way here, and then it starts.
I know, dude.
It's a kid and play type thing.
Yeah, but it's all natural. But
no, dude. You look like Cameo from the 80s. All pretty ladies around the world.
Word up.
Bro, you're like, honestly, though, your hair looks.
He's kind of
like
got a Gumby going on. It's kind of like a Gumby going on. It's like leaning one side and shit.
Your hair's trying to grow like fucking my man Bob from La Bamba. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bob. La Bamba. Yo, it's trying.
For trying Shootin' Shit. Sports update. Alvin Kamara has just jumped into the crowd. And I think that's a safety issue. But gentlemen, what a night, man. It's a crazy ass sports night.
Dude.
If you would have told me that Philly would have lost on a walk-on, that the Texas Rangers would have been manhandled.
Over.
And Houston went in there and acted like they own our stadium.
They technically do.
People in Texas should be used to getting manhandled by now.
Well, you know.
They technically do own you guys at that stadium because I saw something going into the game. They were like 7-1 at Arlington still or whatever?
Yeah, it's in Arlington, Globe Life.
Houston was 7-1 at that stadium this year in the regular season.
They like hitting in our park, but it's okay. They don't play well at home. We'll get them back in Houston. But a tie game right now between the Jags and the Saints, man. Like I said, Kamara just jumped into the fucking crowd after tying it up 24-all right now with 6 minutes to go. Some good football, ladies. Some good football.
So he was doing a Lambeau leap then?
No, he was actually in the crowd. Like, he stood in the crowd. It wasn't like the Lambeau leap where they hold him up. No, this fucker was standing with the people in the crowd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he cleared the wall and then stood in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, he's getting fined.
Oh, yeah, dude, he's getting fined out the ass for that.
that's a fine.
Guys, we've been a whole week since we've talked, man. It
has been a week.
It's been a great week worth of not a lot of things in pro wrestling, but a little bit of stuff that we could probably touch on. I'm going to throw a quick one out here just because you guys mentioned the women's bathroom in my final takes. PWI, they just released the top 10 for the women. DDJ, what is the list?
The list of the top 10 wrestlers in this year's 2023 PWI Women's 250 are as follows. We have at number one, Rhea Ripley. Number two, Julia. Number three, Bianca Belair.
Who?
Number four, Jamie Hayter. Number five, Tam Nakano. Number six, Athena. Number seven, Deonna Purrazzo. Number eight, Willow Nightingale. Number nine, Camille. And number 10, Jordan Grace.
Camille. It's a good top 10, man. Gentlemen, here's my question. I don't want to break through 1 through 10, but who is an outlier? Who do you not think belongs in the top 10, and who would you replace them with?
Dude, who was the second one?
Great question here. So, whatever.
Number two was Julia from Stardom.
Just Julia.
Okay, so the fact that nobody knows who the fuck Julia is means she shouldn't be in the top 10.
She's the Stardom champion/NJPW.
Camille has been the reigning NWA Women's Champion for like forever and just lost the belt not too long ago. How the fuck is she 10 and some bitch I've never heard of too?
Because well, just because you haven't heard of her doesn't necessarily mean the majority of people out there have. I mean, that's just I've heard of her, but I've never really seen her wrestle. So, but I mean, I know who she is.
Then she shouldn't be in the top 10, dude. If she's not known by the majority of the country, she shouldn't be in the top fucking 10.
But there's that's wrestlers not one outside of the U.S., dude. Like, we can't discredit Japan just because they're not in the U.S., buddy.
I'm with Jovan on that.
She is a worker.
I think for me, the only one that I really don't get on, I wouldn't say necessarily would take out, you know, out of the top 10, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Willow Nightingale because she had a run with the New Japan, the New Japan Strong or whatever they call it, the women's title or whatever that she had that was basically supposed to be Mercedes Moné's title until she got hurt and they had to call an audible. But I mean, she's fun and she's definitely over and she's very popular with the crowds. But I mean, she doesn't really appeal to me. I mean, and I guess the one person that maybe I would switch with Willow and put it in the top 10 and. I can't really say to what she's been doing lately because it's not part of the evaluation period. But if I had to take one out, pull one in, I'd probably take Willow Nightingale out. And honestly, I'd put Toni Storm in.
Jesus, we are full of hot takes tonight. Sean.
Yeah, wake up there, Grandpa.
Well, dude, if you wasn't talking me into sleep, I'd be awake. Yeah, dude, I don't really give a shit about this topic. I don't half that list, you know, I don't know. Britt Baker's not on there. Asuka's not on there.
Asuka was 11.
Saraya won a belt this year. She's not on there. Jamie Hayter. Yeah, I don't. That's bullshit. I don't fucking move on.
Well, the evaluation period was from June 2022 to June 2023. I don't believe technically Saraya she maybe had one match or something. So that's probably why she's not up there. I think for me, I'm kind of looking through because they actually have the entire list is out there and stuff. But yeah, Asuka was just outside at 11. Charlotte Flair was actually 21.
She spent a lot of that time injured though.
Yeah, she was out.
I'm going to go ahead and kill the topic real quick to get to something else that everybody wants to talk about. To me, the only one that really stands out in the top 10 would be, even though she was getting a main push as the AEW Women's Champion at the time, I don't think Jamie Hayter is top 10 quality. I think that women such as Masha Slamovich actually should have deserved to have been in the top 10 for the year that she's
had. That's a good one.
Well, Peraza's been in the Impact title hunt the entire time. I don't understand why she ain't higher on the list.
Yeah. But, I think it's just because after she dropped the title, she went into tag teaming. Then she did – like, she's always been a perennial contender. She's going to be a top contender.
Yeah, but
that's because she's one of their top workers.
Yeah,
and she's a hell of a man. Mickie James isn't on the list. How many main events has Mickie James had this year? She's had a title reign and gave it up.
Mickie James was 27. And you mentioned Deanna. She's I know you're gonna be at Bound for Glory Saturday night, Sean. She's I believe challenging for the tag titles, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Impact so. Wrestling presents sure. Bound for Glory. It's gonna be a good show, man. You're gonna have actually a decent ass show card. Impact is good about putting on good shows. All right.
Best programming in the business right now.
That nobody's watching. You know what? Let me do a pivot to this. Just a brief update for everybody who knows. NWA, of course, we love to talk crap about them every once in a while. NWA has come out, Mr. Billy Corgan, and stated that they signed a TV deal with a top 20 TV station. I don't know when he's doing the numbers. But they've signed, apparently, with the CW. I don't know if you guys have any feelings on that. The CW and NWA now apparently in partnership. I would have been more excited if my cable company didn't drop the CW.
I don't even know if my cable company still has it.
What the fuck is the CW?
It's what they used to play the Flashverse on, and as soon as all those shows were being canceled, they dropped it.
Never watched it. I don't know. But good for them. It's TV.
It is TV.
Well, I mean, I'm glad they got a TV deal after that fucking horrendous fucking run by that fat bastard. He was carrying their belt. I'm lucky they're lucky anybody even wants to do business with them.
That's how you really feel, bud.
He says fat bastard.
I have. I believe I told you how I really feel about that fuck numerous times.
This was Kane.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Kane. I'm sorry.
This was Kane for Sean.
He says fat bastard. The only thing I could hear of is, "Where's your shitter? I've got a turtle peeking out.
Got a turtle
cannibal in my belly.
Oh, and my baby, back, ribs,
chilies, yeah."
Baby back ribs.
All right.
Baby back ribs.
Do we want to get to what's the question of the week? I know we've got to get back on track with the fun stuff. Who's the question of the week?
Yeah, man. We've been doing real good about putting out quality content, and we're kind of dropping the ball right now. I'm sorry.
I killed it with the ladies' question early. Never start with the bathroom break.
Well, you know, if you guys would discuss topics with us before you throw them at us, we'd shut them down before the show started. But that's okay. Joe, women you got my back too. On that?
Okay.
I got your back on that.
Well, yeah, plenty of women wrestle, but not many of them are in that top 10.
Yeah.
So the question of the week, or what are we calling the question? We're still working on that. Okay.
Yeah, so it's no longer the stirring shoot.
And now for the cum dumpster that. Question of the week. And go.
So this week's question comes from my very good friend and boss at Copeland's Bar and Grill. His name's Josh Glenn. And Josh's question is, what is the difference, product difference, storylines, character development, and call-ups before Vince, and how they're going to be handled after Vince is gone? And I think where he was going with that is, like, right now, you know, WWE, the ratings are up, the buy rates are up, they're selling more merch than ever, you know, because we know now that Triple H has full creative control. And he did take that over at some point last year. I think it was before Clash at the Castle, not long before that. And we did see, yeah, well, whatever. I knew it was around that area.
like the quality of the shows on Raw went up, the pay-per-view qualities were going up, and then Vince somehow finagled a way back into there, and we seen, you know, his input and things changing up again at the last minute, and so it's kind of been seesawing, but we now know that Triple H has creative control and will be handling all the content from this point on. You know, what's going to be the difference between WWE Vince McMahon post Vince McMahon?
Well, I think the biggest difference is going to be the morale in the locker room with the boys and the men and the women back there, because, you know, a lot of times you'd hear reports that everybody felt like, you know, when Vince was in charge, they were, everybody was walking on eggshells, you know, trying not to be, you know, slip up or whatever, because, you know, they didn't want to get fired. You know, Vince had the people he let, you know, he liked that he wanted to use, and a lot, it was a lot of the ones that Triple H worked with during his time in NXT didn't, you know, weren't Vince's boys or girls or whatever. And it just seems like the overall perception, you know, with Vince going into changing the show, rewriting the scripts at the last minute, nobody really knowing what they're doing up sometimes during the show and stuff. And now, you know, with Hunter firmly in charge, you don't really hear much about that anymore. And, you know, that puts, I think, a lot of people at ease. Plus, we're starting to see a lot more of the guy, you know, men and women that Triple H, you know, was high on. And we'll take that off till we get Joey K back here. We lost him. So, but yeah, I just think it's just the biggest thing is the locker room morale. And when you have a happy locker room, you see it out in the, on what we're seeing on TV. Like I said, the better quality shows, the buy rates are up. They're making more money than ever. Merch is, you know, flying off the shelves. Shows are selling out and just everything. So it's just, seems like it's nothing but good for everybody.
I want to hit exactly to what the question was regarding the call-ups, right? I want to hit at the point to where when Vince was in charge, Vince didn't care what you did in NXT. When he brought you to Raw, you might as well came off of the street, right? We saw great gimmicks like Karrion Kross come up and get changed to some kind of gimp road warrior
mix. Gladiator.
It was terrible. It was garbage. Now you have the hope that when we see the guys like Carmelo Hayes, when we see the Bron Breakers crumb up out of NXT to the main roster, they're going to be these guys. They're not going to take Carmelo Hayes and say, you're part of the New Day now. They're not going to take Bron Breakker and say, you're in a, you know, what's it, the Oddities remake. No. They're going to let these guys be them, which is the right move, because I get WWE standpoint of whatever you've done outside of our universe doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. When you're here, you're going to be who we want you to be. But NXT is still your universe. There's no reason for you to tell an NXT talent who's gotten over doing what they're doing, they need to completely change it and become something new on the main roster. So I think that's something that Hunter's going to understand. He's going to kind of let these guys continue to flourish, continue to grow as who they are, as performers on the main roster. And we'll get a lot, I think we're going to get a lot better runs out of the NXT guys that are coming up in the future. I think we'll see people actually flourish and actually take those steps that we've wanted to see out of a Keith Lee, out of a, you know, Ricochet, out of, you know, all these guys that have just fallen flat because they've never given them that same backing they had in NXT.
Joe, what do you got? That's a good take, bro.
Oh, that shit. No, I'm kidding. It's been going this way. Like, Vince always loves the gimmicks and all the bullshit, and these call-ups would happen, and you get fucking name changes and gimmick changes and, like, the typical, like, it's almost like you want, I want you to thrive here, but when you come to the main roster, you got to start from, like, the fucking 1990s. like you set it back.
More like it's 1987, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if you can make it with this stupid fucking gimmick I'm going to give you, pal, you can make it for sure. You know, like, come on, man. Like, nobody wanted to see that. Times change. You know, the bigger issue is, like, I just can't wait till like just Vince just disappears, because it's coming, and it's coming a lot sooner than anybody thinks. Because if anybody realistically believes that Vince McMahon is in charge of shit in this deal, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, you're absolutely like, 100% correct about that. Yeah.
And it is just a matter of fucking time until TKO decides to say, okay, we've had enough of this. You're done. Go home. Yeah. We'll pay you out, whatever. And you can leave and just sit at home and never contact us again. We don't care.
They'll change the phone number.
They got fuck you money. They don't care. If they got enough money to buy the WWE, they got fuck you money.
Mm-hmm.
And they can throw enough fuck you money at Vince to just say, we're done. Thanks for everything, but we're done. And that's going to come a lot quicker, like I said, than people think. I mean, the fuck's he got to do there? They want Hunter in charge of creative. Because in the past, you know, what, at least a year?
Yeah.
I'll say this. WWE's ran the better premium live events than AEW for the past year.
You want to know how good it's been for the WWE? And I think Sean will agree with me on this. It's been so good that our friend Patrick, remember back when he swore off WWE, Sean?
Yeah.
He's watching it again. Yeah, that tells you right there. Someone who literally said he would never watch WWE again is back on watching. So that right there, in my opinion, tells you just how different it is and how good it's been.
Well, okay, my take, as far as, like, I don't, when I think about this, I look at it two ways, and I think you guys will agree with me. Like, I think Vince had his run. You know what I mean? And let's break that down just for a second, okay? I think everything that he initially did was a risk, and when you're starving and you're putting everything you own and everything you have into your company, and you're pushing and pushing and pushing for the next big thing, the next big event or whatever. Like he took a risk with the original WrestleMania. I mean, the man financed his home, refinanced his home so he could afford to pull that off. And then what we have now is two nights of, you know, I mean, it's basically the Super Bowl of professional wrestling. There's people that never watch wrestling at all, but watch WrestleMania every year because it's an event. Mm-hmm. So like the early push, like with Hogan going into the 80s, into the 90s, and then there's a falter there, you know, they start losing ratings. The people that he's putting the belt on, you know, not to say that Shawn Michaels wasn't a great worker, because he was, and he wasn't, it's not that he wasn't entertaining or whatever, he was, but ratings were just down. And WCW was doing a different kind. I mean, Vince has always been a little late changing up. You know, I mean, he still had Mantar and, you know, those other different.
Waylon Murphy.
The Dumpster. Yeah, these guys that were all gimmicky and still had jobs. And all of them, buddy. All that stuff. And then WCW were doing more realistic storylines. Talent started leaving, going down there. Then you see Vince kind of buckling underneath the pressure, but then along comes Steve Austin, who, despite everything, built an audience for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that same time, Rocky Maivia is taking off. And so you have this juggernaut of these two, you know, which will probably, I don't know that it'll ever happen again to that extent, these two mega stars kind of defining an era. And then one went to Hollywood and the other, you know, got hurt, and you went into the Cena thing. Vince has always been more lucky than he has been genius, in my opinion. Like, things just always seem to work out in his favor. He just mined until something came up. But the people that he pushed and the ones that he were, you know, this is my, you know, the Drew McIntyres and the Eve, okay, even Rocky Maivia to some extent, he was the blue chip athlete. Go out there and smile. And it didn't go the way he wanted it to. It took a character change and an attitude change and an athlete just going, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to do what I want to do. All these things happen. Now, the flip side of that coin is Triple H. He had an idea and an opportunity to go down to NXT and start something there and built it into a pretty goddamn good product.
Yeah,
the original black and gold NXT, you know, they were selling pay-per-views. They were developing stars. And as soon as those stars get called up to Raw, you know, some were being changed, some weren't. Then Hunter gets sick. Vince goes in and revamps the whole fucking thing. Mm-hmm. To the point where Joey Kay no longer watches. You know, I mean, that's after that happened, right? So yeah. The product has changed so much. Now, when Hunter comes back, we start seeing the Shawn Michaels is in charge down there. It's actually, in my opinion, probably more of a training talent, like OVW, just with much better production.
Developmental.
Much greater facility. There you go. It's much more a developmental thing now than it's probably ever been, because there isn't really a lot of, we're not bringing in big name indie guys that have been around. We're, all these kids are fresh and new and barely known. And we've seen the changes Paul has made on the main roster as well, with the PLEs being what they are. He's not afraid to come out and talk about, you know, the decisions he made. Like when we were all upset that Cody didn't go over, you know, Paul came out and said, the story ain't over. You know, he didn't cower from it. He didn't back down from it. He didn't immediately go and rewrite shit. He didn't post on X.
Right.
I think that Paul Levesque is more Dana White than he is Vince McMahon. Like in his mind, I'm going to run this place the way I think I need to be run. And he's always been that guy that's pushed for change. Even back in his wrestling career, just his career alone, he's been able to adapt and change and all that. And this product is only going to get better with him at the helm. And I think that's probably the best opportunity that these guys are going to have, to the point, and I'll make this point and then I'm done with it. But so last Friday night, Nick Aldis was announced as the new SmackDown GM, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Aldis under Vince McMahon would have been brought in under some other fucking name. He would have changed his name. There would be no talk about what he had done prior, his career, or any of that shit. It would just be, here's this guy who's going to be our new GM. But Paul Levesque brings him in as Nick Aldis, who he is and what he is.
Oh, pretty much like they do with Adam Pearce. Because that's how they brought
exactly.
Adam
Pearce in. Yeah.
So, yeah. Exactly. And the possibilities of what's going to happen between Adam Pearce, who used to be, he was an NWA heavyweight champion, and Nick Aldis, who can still go, and I hope at some point he gets a chance to wrestle.
I'm sure he does.
I hope it's not just. I'm hoping it's not just manager type thing. I hope he gets a chance to put his tights on and wrestle. But I like what they're doing with it. You know, he's had a lot of success with the storyline, with the bloodline, and all this other stuff. I just think the time has passed Vince by. It's just passing by. And it happened probably 20 years ago. He's just too stubborn to admit it.
That's true. And Joey, can you give NXT a try again, man? I'm not going to say it's 100% greatness, but
it's better than it was.
It is a lot better than when it debuted as the Nickelodeon version. But I mean, honestly, some of the top tier talents like Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, Ilya Dragunov. I'm a big Ilya fan. So, I mean, those guys right now are tearing it up. That's going to be the next future of the big roster. Those few guys and Braun, they're really making a good name for themselves with some of their matches. So, I mean, their matches are worth watching.
Yeah.
If not the whole show, at least watch some of their matches.
One thing I want to add to what Sean said, because I think Sean nailed it with his take on Hunter. One of the things I think that I think a lot more people are receptive to Hunter being in charge is because he has his finger on the pulse of the WWE universe. Like, he's more in tune with what they want. And I think that's one of the reasons also why that, you know, people are seem to be much happier. Like, the fans are much happier that he's, you know, running things creatively, because he, you know, he has his finger on the pulse. He understands his fan base more than Vince could ever dream of.
Oh, and he's been in the WWE for how many years now, man? It's pretty much
almost 30.
He had a 2-year run. Yeah. He had a 2-year run or a 1-year run in WCW. And from that point on, he's been a member of the WWE family.
Literally, yeah, since 95.
But yeah, the thing is, though, is Triple H has always been good about the business.
Yeah.
And Vince, unfortunately,
well, he's a fan, man. I mean,
yeah, and that helps. You know, when fans are doing it and they're getting in there, they know what other fans want to watch. That makes the point where I was going to say Vince was mainly booking for Vince. And sometimes Vince knocked it out of the park with some of these characters and some of the attractions he brought to the WWE. But more than not, he was missing. And that's just because he was doing what he wanted to see. Triple H understands what's good for business.
Yep.
He's the actual best for business.
Yeah. Vince was booking the shows for an audience of one, that one being Vince McMahon, whereas Triple H is booking the shows for for, you know, every, basically the fans, the universe.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I really don't. And I'll explain what I mean. Like, I get what you guys are saying. I don't know that Vince McMahon has ever been a fan. I think it's always been business for him.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that.
As a commentator. I mean, not saying that he can't respect talent or appreciate talent or whatever.
But I get what you're saying, though.
Well, can I finish saying it? When he books, everything for me was always a business angle or something like that. Whereas I feel like Paul Levesque, not only was he a fan first, but he was a wrestler next. And now he's in management. This guy sees things that not everybody sees. This is why he's always going to be better at what he does than what Tony Khan does. Because Tony Khan's a fan who's never been in the ring, doesn't really understand what goes on in that world. He's just a fan who was allowed into it because he owns it. Kind of the same way Billy Corgan is. They don't have a real appreciation for what these guys do and what they put their bodies through and everything. They can be empathetic and they can worry and be concerned, but they don't know because they didn't do it. Whereas Paul Levesque was a performer and probably a lot higher up on the food chain than we really give him credit for because of who he was married to. We don't give him as much respect as, say, Shawn Michaels or some of the other guys. But, you know, Triple H was a fucking great character. And that man's character adapted and changed through his entire run. He was always a top in-ring worker. He did great promos, heel or face. He just knew how to work. Now, did everything he do, every time he come up to the plate, did he knock it out of the park? No, but nobody does. Nobody's ever perfect, but he's as close to what Ric Flair was without, you know, being drunk and all that other bullshit as Rick, you know, in my opinion, he's up there. Like, is he top 5, top 10? I don't know, but the guy could work his ass off, and we know that. He was a 14-time champ. Probably during that era of Rock, Austin, Triple H, he was the only real legitimate heel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was kind of Darth Vader to everybody else because these guys were doing their thing. And he said, if I'm going to get noticed, I got to do something different. And not only did he do that, but he took the fact that he married the boss's daughter and somehow worked that in his favor from a performer in-ring status.
So here's
the boss.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Here's a quick question then, because I like where you're going with all that. Quick question to see what you guys' thoughts are. Triple H, will he be looked back upon and put into like the greatest of all conversations more based off of his wrestling contributions or what he does from here moving forward as booking?
I think both. I don't think you can separate it. Yeah, I really don't. I think if the one thing that you can say about Paul Levesque, the man, because when you talk to him or when you see him interview or whatever, he talks about Triple H like that's another person.
Right.
Like they all do. They all talk in third person. He don't talk in third person. He talks about that character as this is what that character was going through at that time. I think of all the guys in that era, you're looking at a guy who was able to – dude, he's not still walking around with his hair long, pulled back in a fucking leather coat and shit. Like, you know, Hulk Hogan's still wearing the do-rags or Ric Flair walking around in suits. He's not doing that. That man knows who he is. He's very aware of who he is. And the one thing that I can say about Triple H is evolve. From
you know what,
you know, the aristocrat to now, that man has consistently evolved throughout his entire career. He's changed.
I'm gonna take something from you, man, and it's based off of your take and everything you said, and it's really good, and I like it. I think it's pretty good to make this designation, but I think I'm gonna be respectful. I'm gonna stop calling him Triple H because, as you said, he's not Triple H anymore. He's Paul. That's Paul Levesque now. He's not Triple H. He hasn't been Triple H for a while. And I think you hit it dead on. Two completely different people. I like that take.
And one thing I also want to add when he was talking about the, you know, the premium live events and the press conferences and not shying away from the questions and stuff. I know at the last one they had after Fastlane, someone asked him about, you know, Adam Copeland, you know, going to AEW, and he didn't shy away from it. You know, he had it head on and stuff and everything. Yeah. So I just thought that, you know,
if you marry the boss, go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
No. I was just gonna say, no, I was basically just about done as you were going into yours and stuff. I just, like you said, he's not, he doesn't shy away from questions or anything like that. He takes them head on and handles them about as professionally as one can.
Well, dude, I would say if you're banging the boss's daughter, dude, you're not afraid of anything. You know, I mean, if you got the balls to marry the boss's daughter and walk through the locker room going, fuck you, I don't care what you think, then you're not afraid. There ain't nothing about that guy that's afraid. You know, I respect that a lot.
All right. Let's transition here, shift gears, get off of Triple H, because that's we're going to let that go and hope that Paul Levesque is very fruitful in his future with the WWE booking. I know we were going to touch on, which I'm just going to mention it, but TKO has come out and stated that they are letting Paul Levesque run all of the creative. They didn't want Vince McMahon in there anymore with creative. So that hits on Joey K's point that Vince may not be long for any kind of activity with the WWE. And it hits to the Silver Wolf down there making the points he did with how Paul Levesque is done with creative. So big changes happening with TKO and their relationship.
And also, too, don't forget, he's still under investigation from the federal government with all the hush money stuff with all them women and stuff. So, I mean, they're
Vince's.
Yeah, Vince is still. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's a lot of things to see how remains to be seen with how TKO and their relationship with their new acquisition of WWE shakes out. But we've got some hope for the future, at least for the product. Let's shift gears. This is one that I think we can take into our last shots of the night. Let's get on to this one. This was a big thing that happened this week. It's one of the rare things that actually was big throughout the wrestling industry. A legend is calling it quits, and I know Sean is probably happy to hear this because he's been begging for this man to do so. The man they call
Sting. Joey's been begging. That's Joe. Joe's been wanting him to retire because he's so afraid. I want him to keep going, but that's me. I'm a selfish bitch. I'll admit it.
Well, you'll get your you'll get a few more matches. He said that he's gonna hang up the boots after Revolution 2024, which is in a few months. Isn't that normally like March?
Yeah, it's usually the March around the end of February, sometime beginning middle of March.
Yeah. So number one, that Tony better do that in Atlanta. Let Sting go out at home. But gentlemen, we're seeing the lead up to Sting's farewell. Let's do a real quick. What do you want Sting's last match to be? And throw in a favorite Sting match.
Ooh.
All right. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I'm thinking. You got it. Go.
All right. So for me, the match that I want it to be and the match that I think it should be, I think his last match should be against Darby Allin. To me, there's really no one else I think that, you know, has worked with Sting like this in years. And I mean, I think Darby stands to benefit so much from this. So I want it to be, and I think it should be Dart versus Darby Allin. Now as for favorite Sting matches, I actually have two. The first one that I want to go with is his very first match, which was basically his breakout match of his career when he faced Ric Flair at the first Clash of the Champions when they went to the 45-minute draw. And then my other match I want to talk about is Sting Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance from War Games 92. Those are like my two favorite Sting matches. I mean, I can watch those every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
I don't even have fucking words for you right now. Twice. You're just fucking.
Twice on Sunday, Joey.
Joey, no. Kate, what up with the sleeves, by the way?
What about them?
It's a new shirt. It's a new shirt, man. It's
cold outside.
It's my National League champion shirt from last season.
You don't cut up championship shirts, bro.
Yeah, man.
Fair enough.
Fucking dollar store marker, fucking doodle art.
Food stamp shirt. Get it right.
Oh, now he's so proud of his arts and crafts, Joey. Don't do that.
Damn right I am. Here, since we can't do it in any use this one anymore, yeah.
Nobody puts baby in a corner. Go ahead, Joey. I'm sorry.
You fucking put baby Huey in a corner over here.
Ooh, like I haven't been called that before.
Oh, no, we call you that every day.
I know you do.
Anybody want a pit?
Get him. Man. I'm gonna let him talk.
I think Darby is the dog shit answer. I'm sorry, man. I just think who gives a flying fuck? Why Darby? Darby's gonna be dead in 3 years anyway. So what fucking rubs he gonna get other than some fucking like tiger bomb rub when he throws himself off the fucking balcony or some shit? All right. Yeah, I just it's ridiculous. There's no one really left, in my opinion, who can be his big last match. They're all gone. You know?
That's interesting. Yeah.
What are we gonna see? Fucking Rick come out there and fucking die?
Please, God, no.
I mean, no. Sting retires. Fucking Ric Flair dies. I mean, like that's a fucking show, huh? Right.
That got dark quick.
You know, give me other good Sting rivalries. Like, go ahead. Shoot.
You had Sting versus Flair. Obviously, that's not going to happen. I mean, all those good rivalries, the guys can't Sting. Go anymore. The
Steiners aren't
well, they're either, Steiners. They can't go or they're dead.
Yeah.
They can't go or they're dead.
Luger can't go.
Oli,
Vader's
Luger.
Dead.
Luger's in a wheelchair. I mean,
I pay money to see Luger
could go. That's gonna be a tough match to watch. I mean, how are they gonna get the fucking wheelchair in there?
It's gonna be no DQ. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, like, and that's the thing. And honestly, my thought on it would be the only
the ring.
What?
The wheelchair? He's gonna. pull the little ramp to the ring.
No, I want him. I want him to pull him on the back of the Lex Express, but he's like behind it. Like fucking red one.
Fresh from the WWE. Fresh from the WWE museum.
Fucking shit. Fucking amazing. No, I think honestly the only answer for me, which is not going to happen, because yeah, Jeff Hardy,
run it back.
Oh man.
Yeah, somebody needs to pill Jeff Hardy the fuck up to the gills first.
Be a rehab on a ladder match.
He does have his next one free.
Rehab on a ladder match. That's fucking great.
Rehab on a pole match.
Let me see.
Booked by Vince Russo.
He's a great Muta. That, like, to me would be like probably the last real great feud that Sting had of somebody that could still go, but we're not going to get that.
Yeah.
Because
no, God, that would be
he
cool.
Retired because you know Muta retired last year, and you know, got to, I just felt like it's a returning the favor thing. With Muta having that fucking last match and Sting being involved, you know. But it's that's a dream. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's actually
No, I mean my favorite Sting thing is not even a match. It's just him and RoboCop. So there's that.
Oh, Sean, you still need thinking time? Or are you ready to rip?
No, man, I'm ready. I think. Okay, just real quick, I'm going to say this. I think, you know, the greatest match that Sting ever won was Time. Because of all the contemporaries from that era, he's the only one who's kind of, I mean, come on, man, he's out work. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall's gone, and Rick is, you know, that train wreck, and you know, all these guys that, you know, when he started to now, he's the only guy that when they announce him for a match, I'm still like, okay. You know, like I don't look at him as the sad old guy who's still trying to work. You know, not that he's not old and he should have hung it up. I agree with that. Like, I don't want to see him get hurt. I really don't. But I mean, the fact that he's had this run in AEW, you know, I love it. Like, I was excited the night he showed up there. I've been excited to watch every match that he's been involved in. And it's not like he's coming in and being a dog. Like, the guy's working. Like, he's doing a really great job in these matches. And yes, he's only wrestling maybe once a month or once every 2 months after a paper PLE or whatever. But, like, I mean, he's not going in there and passing out. Like,
no.
One legend who almost died in the ring not too long ago and is trying to talk his way into another match.
God, I hope he does.
My biggest, the one thing that I regret the most, or not regret, but I wish would have happened, is one, I wish he would have made the transition from WCW to WWE when he was younger. I think given just his popularity and how people just love that guy, that if he'd went into WWE when he was younger, I think it would have been kind of like an Undertaker deal where he was a star there. He would be huge given because, you know, I, but then again, we don't know what Vince would have done. Would he be change his name, call him the Scorpion or whatever? Like, I think he was big Scorpion. Enough that they would have let him keep his Sting moniker.
And he would have been able to have some really freaking awesome matches with guys like Shawn Michaels in their prime and these other guys that were there that he could have worked
and we
with.
Would have finally,
and The Undertaker.
Yeah, I was just going to say we would have gotten that match with The Undertaker at some point.
Because he is constantly brought up that he wished that he could have worked with Undertaker. And that makes sense to me. So, you know, I wish it would have happened sooner. That being said, when he did come over, I wish his run in WWE would have been handled a little bit differently. You know, I mean, the guy is an icon. He really is. I mean, you can't talk about wrestling in the 20th century into the 21st century and not bring Sting up. You just can't. He is probably the last superstar from that era that's still competing. I mean, he was so big and so huge. My favorite Sting match was great. Him versus the Great Muta, Starrcade 89.
Oh,
him and Muta. Him and Muta had just great chemistry, and you know the way they worked together and the storyline. And he was so athletic, man. I mean, he was doing stuff back then that nobody was doing yet. You know, I remember at one point there was a War Games card, and he wasn't wrestling in the War Games, but the rings were together. And he went from one ring, dove over the ropes of both, you know, the two, into the second ring and took a guy out. And I just remember thinking, man, that the guy had spring. He could jump. He was an animal. I loved the way he'd no-sell chops. You know, I'd love how he kind of, he was like Road Warriors 2.0. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't a Legion of Doom. I mean, he could work. Like he could work, you know, the Scorpion Deathlock. You know, that was an innovative move that was ripped off by so, I mean, there's a lot of people that use it. You know, Bret Hart took it and started calling it the Sharpshooter, but we all know that it was the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
But, you know, the man's had a hell of a career. I hope he gets to finish this year in the 24 healthy. And I hope that he stays healthy from here on out. Because if anybody from that era deserves to be walking around and enjoying his retirement and everything, you know, and let's be honest, dude, he didn't come into AEW looking for a title match or a belt or any of that shit. Of all the guys that have signed with AEW, he's the one guy who's done nothing but help enhance other talents.
Yep.
So, and I don't think he owes Darby Allin enough a rub. I think he's given Darby Allin a pretty damn good rub. So I don't know that that match even makes sense to me. You know, you can't.
How does it not make sense?
Because you can't be wrestled like a wrecking ball against the guy who don't get hurt.
Exactly.
I just don't make agree with that.
They can work together as a tag team, man, but they're not going to have a high quality match. Darby Allin is a million miles an hour and weighs 160 pounds. Sting is 60 whatever years old and has been no selling power moves his entire career. It's not a match he can make. He's not going to be able to keep up with him. That kid is too fast for him to work with. It's just not going to work. The closest thing you're going to get to a decent retirement match for him at this point, and God, I fucking hate saying this, Jeff Jarrett.
Don't.
Oof. Oh, fuck.
I can't believe you got that out.
He's the only guy.
Fuck, that does make a lot of sense.
You know what? I got one other.
I'm going to feel that tomorrow.
I got one other.
No, you don't change your answer now. You don't get to. You lose.
Especially since I haven't given one yet. Hold on.
Well, let me finish first. The reason why I say Jeff Jarrett's a better fit is Jeff Jarrett is in good enough shape and just slow enough now and are in the same range of his abilities as Sting is at 63. Those two would be able to have a good old school type of match that they wrestle and they compete at. Okay. I think it would be a better match. He's not at this point in his career. I don't think he's physically capable of having a match with Darby Allin that works.
I got one other alternative. I like your take on Jarrett, but I got one other one that I think could work. I would throw Christian Cage in the mix too, because they've got history as well.
All right.
Maybe. Like, I don't see that being a bad idea. I don't know that it makes sense as far as his retirement match, but because he has a history with Jarrett from Impact, they have a long history.
He has a history with Christian, you know, from Impact.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't think it's the same kind of history, buddy. It's why I'm
it doesn't need to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, they were in the same.
There's history. That's well, all that matters.
I disagree.
All right.
I
well,
really do disagree. I like your take. I understand.
It's okay.
That's fine.
Okay to disagree.
It's okay for I'm you good. To be wrong. Buddy, it's okay. It's okay for you to be wrong.
Oh, okay. I see. We're going to go there. Okay. All right. All right. I see.
Oh.
Jackass.
Joe, what you got, Howard?
Well, my favorite Sting match. I'm going to take it back to that little show that nobody watches. I'm going to TNA because I've been quoted as saying Perk Angle is my favorite era of Perk Angle. And his match with Sting at Bound for Glory for the title.
You mean Kurt Dangle?
Was great. Yeah, Kurt Dangle.
Kurt Dangle's my favorite.
It I was love a Kurt good Dangle. One. So that's my favorite.
You should get Sting that match. Tattooed on your DBJ.
Kurt nope. Dangle?
Nope.
It's the three eyes, gentlemen.
You should get it tattooed on there.
Kurt Dangle.
In capital letters.
And as for the final match of the Stinger, I'm a sucker for legends giving other legends the rope out. I like when, you know, Rock and Hogan, two guys of an era, John Cena and The Rock, two guys of an era, Triple H and The Undertaker, the end of an era. To me, that makes somebody's last match big, right? Something. It means something because these are legends. These are two bona fide. If you ask anybody on any day of the week, they're putting both of these guys in that top five, top 10 easily. Mm-hmm. And the only guy on the AEW roster I think makes that is Chris Jericho. It's two different companies, two different big time names.
It's been teased.
Yeah. Two guys who haven't gone. I want Jericho and Sting, man, for the end of it.
They've never wrestled that. Have they ever worked the same one? Have they ever worked against each other?
I think the only time they've been in a match together was at Forbidden Door this year, right? In that six man or whatever.
Yep.
But I got one question for you before we move on to our final thoughts or whatever we said.
I like that. I like that, Jovan. I like that.
Bringing the heat tonight, gentlemen. I gave you all my A game.
So regardless of who it ends up being, who his final opponent ends up being, does Sting's last match main event Revolution and should it?
Yes.
It shouldn't. No.
Oh, you
absolutely. Why am I not surprised you said that, Joey?
Because them two love the title ending. If there's a title to be defended, they like the title to be defended.
I'm with you, Jovan. I think it should be an event.
But it's the attraction. You're going there.
All right. Hold on. Listen. Try to understand where we're coming from. And if this is where I'm coming from, I don't know where Joey K is coming from or why he says no, but this is where I'm coming from.
God, why did we add another Joey?
This is, you know what? Some people would be insulted by that, but I'm going to take that as a compliment. So fuck
you're goddamn right you are. It's been a year of this
shit. that's funny shit.
It's all my fault, Jovan.
So
it's great.
The reason why I don't think it should be the main event is because it's not a main event match, man. It's just not. What it is a tribute match. And that should be separate from whatever else is going on that card. I'm not saying he should open the show. I'm not saying that he should, I don't know where it goes, but it definitely don't go in main event. The match before the main event, or at least like smack dab in the middle of the card,
And here's why. You can sit up there and shake your head like that, dude, all you want. You know what I'm saying. He's not main event Sting anymore. And I guarantee you, given the opportunity, he's going to say, no, I don't want a main event the show. You know why? His ego isn't as big as the fucking arena. Mm-hmm. He wants his moment, and all he wants is a moment. It don't have to be the moment. Main event should be either your biggest grudge ending or the biggest title being defended. Period. You don't send a guy out.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to jump in and say, and for a guy who spent the last 10 to 15 years of his career literally putting everybody over or giving them the rub, he's for sure not going to want a main event that.
Not going to want
that. That's just not. I'm not saying that it's going to be a main event because he wants it to be, but I could totally see Tony Khan saying that this is the main event. I'm not necessarily saying it's because Sting wants it.
Okay. Tony Khan might say that, but Sting's going to tell him no. He's going to tell him no, bro.
Yeah.
And here's why. Bottom line, he don't want it. He knows who he is. That's the great thing about this Sting that we're seeing right now. The man is aware. He ain't fucking bringing his wife on the show to get another paycheck and still trying to be a part of storylines and fucking breaking guitars that nobody gives a fuck about. He's not Jeff Jarrett. He's just not. He's not.
He had to even the odds out.
He doesn't need to be the center of attention, and he doesn't want to be the center of attention. They're giving him a chance to go out in his moment. And be honest with me, look me dead in my face, Dennis, and tell me that you want to see this man's glorious career end on his back, which it will. He will go out on his back because all the greats fucking do. He will go out on his back.
No, I agree that whoever it is, depending on who it is, it's more than likely, yes, he's going to lose. But I mean, he's going to lose.
He can't pull off an end of the pay-per-view main event, man.
He
not
doesn't
with guys
need
like
to.
Kenny O.
He doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't does. Need to. If you put him in the main event, he's got to fucking work like a main event worker. That's the point of the main event.
I disagree. He doesn't. What it is, knowing this is the last match of his career, I think he knows that. And I think
I would agree with you if we were doing it in a bingo hall or a VFW or American fucking Legion, but we're not. It's going to be in the middle of a fucking stadium, probably in Atlanta. And no. He's not, dude. He just
in Chicago.
I love the man to death, dude.
Chicago.
I don't want you to. I'm not arguing with you for the sake of arguing with you. I love the man to death. I'm just telling you, he can't pull off a main event match. He's not going to
need
to. He's just not.
I don't think he needs to.
I disagree.
I don't think he. He's not going to need to because not everybody. No. It realistically, regardless of where this match goes, I don't think anybody is expecting him to, you know, like you said, pull off a main event caliber match because everybody's realistic here. They know they can't get that anymore. I'm just saying because of what he's done.
So does he. So does he, and you're saying we should put him in the main event. And once you say, all right, you're the main event, he automatically has to pull off a main event match. In his head and in his heart, he's going to want to go out there and pull off a main event match because you put him in that spot. And he can't. He just can't. I don't care what your perception is of him as a fan. You personally, I get what you're saying, but he can't do it. That's like asking Jordan to come back and lead the Bulls to a title right now. It's not going to happen. As much as I think he's the greatest of all time and he's better than anybody who ever laced up and played, Michael Jordan can't come back right now and compete in this league. I don't care what anybody says. He can't. And Sting is in that boat. He just can't.
No matter where they place the match on the card, only thing I want to see is Sting get his roses after the match. Because like you said, we know
which
he's
he will.
Take the loss.
I agree.
Give him enough time to get his roses before the next match. Maybe then that suits it better for the match before the main for that cool down. But give him enough time to get his roses in ring.
I agree with that.
So we're going to wrap it up. It's time. Who wants to start?
Hey, before we do that, So
go ahead.
I had mentioned earlier that our question was from a friend of mine named Josh Glenn. Josh is also my boss at a restaurant and bar here in the Mancino, Illinois area, just north of me. And he had come to me with an opportunity to, he's looking for somebody to start hosting pay-per-views at his restaurant and bar, and found out that he would be able to get WWE licensing to do so. And so I brought it to the boys and it looks like we're a go. And I think Joey, you're going to be like LinkedIn, right? We're going to have you on there to do the live show too. You won't be in the city, but you'll be on the computer with us.
I'll be around.
You'll be with us in spirit. We'll get a, we'll get a cardboard cutout made.
I'm going to send the telegram.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There you go.
How can we get a cardboard
so this year?
It shouldn't be too expensive.
Oh, dude, we can do that. Dude, it's not that much paper.
It's not.
He's not like he's 6'5", bro.
He's got short legs.
I hate this fucking show.
So anyway, just letting everybody know in the area that Jovan and Dennis will be able to make it down, and that we will doing a live podcast from Copeland's Bar and Grill in Mantino, and we will be hosting this year's Survivor Series from that spot. We're going to continue to promote it between now and then.
I'll be home with my thumb on my ass.
But the four of us will be there. Joey will be there, you know, digitally. But so, you know, come on out, man. Come out to Copeland's.
You're in the area.
Here, if you're in the local area, I know some guys from the show that we were at in Chicago last weekend are planning on coming down to be a part of it. And we're going to see them this, I'm going to see them this weekend at Bound for Glory in Chicago. So I think we're going to fill the place up. There's going to be good food, a lot of alcohol, and they're going to be on 16 screens. We're going to be promoting it from now until then. So at some point I'm hoping to have Josh on the show with us so everybody can get introduced to him and let him give a, you know, kind of let us know what he's got in mind for us and what he wants to do. And this is something that we're going to be doing from, you know, we're going to give it a try and see how this goes. And if it goes well and we can continue to, you know, be a part of it, we want to. So if you like, you know, like Jovan says, if you see us, beer us, we're going to be there hosting the show. We'll keep promoting it on the Facebook page and on our own personal pages to get the word out as much as we can.
And isn't Sean going to be promoting it on at his bar and stuff like it? Yeah.
They're going to be running stuff on his TVs between now and then. He's going to be promoting it as well as his media director is going to be promoting on their TikTok page and stuff like that. So, you know, get a chance to come out, meet us, be a part of the podcast while we're there. We're going to be broadcasting live and covering Survivor Series. And I'm thinking he was talking like we're going to try to do a live podcast on the big four, you know, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam. So, I mean, I think it'll be a really good opportunity for us to interact with the local area. I know a bunch of indie guys are going to be there that work in some of the smaller federations down here are going to show up. We're going to be able to talk to them and stuff too. So I'm really, really excited about the opportunity that Josh has given us.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm really excited about with Sean mentioning with like a lot of the local indie talent is I remember when
we were in the dumpster.
No.
DJ, just two fists in it. No? Oh, fuck.
I really thought I was
onto that there.
No, you were way off.
It wasn't Matt Taven.
You say that. You say that, Cocoa Butter, but guess what?
I know. Hey, why don't you shut the fuck up and let me get my point out, you dumb son of a bitch.
You're an indie wrestler.
Shut up, you fucking Oompa Loompa reject. Anyway, I was trying to say is one of the things that I really like when when I had the suite from a couple years ago at All Out, is Sean brought his friend Jordan, who's a local wrestler down there in that area, who came and hung out with us. Really nice guy. He's been on AEW Dark a few times. He's been training under Dustin Rhodes at his school. And it's always cool to, it was kind of cool to kind of pick his brain during the thing, because, you know, kind of get an idea with someone who's actually in the business, looks at when they watch a show and stuff. And I think that's one thing I'm really going to like with this, if we see Jordan or any of the local talent down the area, because a lot of times wrestlers that are in the business, like watching these shows, they may watch it a little bit differently than we as fans do. So it'd be kind of nice to get a different perspective on what, you know, someone who's actually in the business is looking for when they're watching a show like this.
I agree, buddy. I agree. So that's all.
Yeah, I told you were way off. I would tell you were way off with that stupid ass comment.
We'll see what happens, man. I'm not gonna be around for the Mania show, so I'm just gonna have to get the reports of how many dudes you jerked off that night.
I'd ask you to grow up, but that's kind of impossible at this point in time.
Oh, is it? Is it?
No, good one. All right. All right.
Oh, shit. Don't get me started, man.
Be nice. We're almost out.
Almost out? What? Digging out of DDJ's ass right now? I'm about to go in it. Let's go. Almost out.
We were so close.
Call me short. So, call me short while you're up there looking like somebody put a fucking Chris Jericho action figure in the goddamn microwave. Don't fucking talk to me like that, bro.
I'll have you know I have a Chris Jericho bobblehead right next to my
computer. I know, most children do. There you go. Way to go, bud.
Yep. So, anyways, for my final thought, I want to go back to last Friday night at the show that Sean and I were at for Chicago Style Wrestling, and talk about how we got to see a really cool moment, probably one of the coolest moments I've ever seen at an independent wrestling show, at the main event of that show last night. I think Sean knows where I'm going with this. Is there is a the main event of the show that night was for the CSW Women's Championship. The champion Sierra, who cracked the, I believe, the top 100 in the PWI Women's 250, defended her title against this wrestler named Shelly Benson, who's really popular and gaining some steam and popularity amongst the fans. And long story short, Shelly won the championship. Ty's a huge fan of hers, almost borderline stalkerish, I'd say. What would you say, Sean?
Yeah. I don't think we're gonna throw a borderline in there, but go ahead.
But anyways, God, just seeing like
not have any more friends. Jesus Christ.
Just like when we when she won the championship, like you could see the emotion coming out of her face. She actually came out addressed as Mankind. And if you, I think it was somewhere on her Instagram where she did something where she talked about why she dressed up as Mankind for the match. And it was really cool. But just hearing her talk after the show, like all the wrestlers, like literally it was all the locker room emptied out. And just you listen to her talk about her story, because she's dealt with some personal issues and stuff, you know, with like, you know, depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And it's just, when you see something like that happen, it's just a really cool moment for just someone that's obviously is putting the work in. The results are starting the show and everything. So it's just a really cool moment to kind of be there to witness and stuff. So I just want to give a shout out to Shelly Benson, the Bombshell, and who knows, maybe you might see her on a future episode of this show.
Next.
The fuck did you just drop?
The mic, son.
Boom. Well.
Oh, here we go.
The Phillies lost today. That's all right. Because they're still going to the World Series. So I don't give a fuck. It's one game. Oh, it's Arizona coming back. Get the fuck out of here. Same bullshit. Oh, Atlanta won a game too. Highest scoring offense in fucking all of baseball this year. And they do shit. And these Arizona D-bags are out there fucking celebrating tonight like they just won the World Series because they beat the Phillies 2-1 just to avoid going down 3-0 in this series. Get the fuck out of here. This team's built for October, baby. We're going. Also, go Birds.
Got the fucking Dolphins on Sunday night. Hey, hit me up with some fucking D-gen gambling picks.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any of those today.
Not yet. They were going to be in the final thoughts. I don't know if I'm going to touch that Philly game. That's it's a D-gen gambler's wet dream. If you,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah. The line on it is too. Yeah, man. Jeez. Well, you guys, I'll go ahead and take it here. That means Sean, you're closing hard for us. When
I do, the only way I know how to close, brother.
Good to
hear. Hi-yo.
When you guys at home are keeping track, you may have noticed last week I went 4-for-4 on DGM picks. I'm going to try to do it for you again this week. I'm not going to take obvious ones, as in the Bills and Patriots. If you need help with that, get your life. I'm going to tell you that the Lions are going to beat the Ravens.
This is the fucking best. fucking Bills and Patriots.
Get your life.
Take the Lions against the Ravens, you guys. Take take the Browns over the Colts. Replacement quarterback, Minshew Magic. Even though the dude has thrown for 300 yards the last two games, I don't know. I don't see Minshew making a big win there. Then the game of the week, man, the bettor's delight. Dolphins and the Eagles, the high-powered offense of the Eagles, meaning the high-powered offense of the Dolphins. If you do individual player pick parlays, you're going to want the over on both quarterback statistics. I guarantee it. You're going to want the over on receptions from Brown and Tyreek Hill. Probably you want the over on Tyreek Hill scoring, because I know they've been screwing with them. They only have him at like half a score. He's gotten a score every game this season except for one. You might want to even take the over on Mostert's rushing yards. But for the game itself, this is tough. It's tough to say. But the Dolphins had me a little worried last week. They're showing some cracks. Philly, coming off of a loss.
They're smoking some crack, or they're showing?
They were showing some cracks. Philly coming off of a loss.
It's Miami, I guess.
That's not the U.
hey, pop that pussy! Hey.
It's all about the U. Philly, I'm not a Philly fan per se, but I am a noted shit. Kelce fan. And I liked what Kelce fan. Did. No, Kelce, man. You know, I like the Kelce brothers. They're good people. But Jason was doing a breakdown on New Heights, and he touched on Philadelphia winning games but having red zone issues. And he says, if our red zone issues don't clear up, we're going to lose eventually. That's what happened. For someone to be that self-aware in the midst of a 4-0 record, man, the dude was on it. He knew exactly what was going on. I don't see those woes continuing for Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's defense is a little bit grittier than Miami's. I think they'll definitely have more of a chance to stop Miami than Miami's defense has against Hurts. Give me Philadelphia in the game.
How much did that hurt?
Mark that the fuck down in your calendars, you fucking sons of bitches.
Jovan, how much did it hurt for you to have to pray for you to say that?
It hurt, and it's going to hurt more when I put much it on as my bed slip.
Oh, God. I mean,
about as much as it hurt me to say Jeff Jarrett's last match, or Sting's last match should be with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah,
that had to that kill you.
We're having a painful night.
I'm going to feel that tomorrow.
Out here pushing kidney stones, man. Just fucking brutal. Brutal. Good Lord. Basically. Wow, Jovan just took the fucking Birds over the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's gonna be a
But also, dude, if one thing we know, if it puts money in his pocket, he don't care.
It's all about it.
Yeah.
That's why I never bet on the Cowboys.
Look at him. He's like over there fucking sweating. There's a bookie with a fucking crowbar sitting across from him on camera right now. You have no idea how it's much like, he needs to fucking burn to win on Sunday night.
As soon as you get done recording.
He's going to be wearing them cement shoes.
Going with those kneecaps, buddy.
Put your asshole out through your mouth.
Dude. That'd be a problem because you're a big motherfucker.
I know. I know.
Fuck, man. Oh, by the way, we are a week away from the fucking NBA season. So let's go even more fucking degenerate picks. Because now we got fucking playoff baseball. We're getting in the middle of the fucking NFL season. NHL just kicked off, but Jovan's a little too brown for that. And then and fucking NBA.
No, dude, Juice play hockey.
What's that?
Yeah. Juice play hockey. Juice play hockey. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, dude. And that one guy in Nashville that's a little browner than everyone else.
He retired.
At least 2%. Really? At least.
Also, he was kind of a shitbag.
Yeah, dude, he got cold. Player.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. He got cold.
PK, I enjoyed, but goddamn, was he a dirty player, man. Like, he's like the fucking Donovan Sue of fucking the NHL, all right?
They just gave him a stick.
Those guys. Nice.
Just like, on you know he's going to do some dumb shit and get suspended.
He was there to fight. My thought of the week, just so we can get to Sean and close it up, is about being mindful of what you're doing at the time in the moment, right? As much of y'all people out there know, I am now a resident of the great state of Michigan.
Motor City Madman.
That's right.
Great. I think we're losing great a little loosely.
More like the Motor City Muff Diver. What up?
Put that on the shirt. The Motor City Muff. Yeah, goddamn it. Motor City Motorboater. Fuck it. I'll take that one too.
Hookers and cocaine, baby. Hookers and cocaine.
That's all we need. If you know any that wants to be at a little bar in Chicago, let us know. We are looking for hookers.
No.
That's just Jovan. That's nobody else.
Yeah, no, because Sean's got a wife. And DJ's I'm not got there. A wife.
No.
Joey's not there. Joey's not there. But with me being in a new area, you know, I've taken time to kind of learn the surroundings, go out and be a little more, I guess, outgoing than I normally was back home.
Did you go see where they are right now?
I did. I've actually went to where they did the battle raps.
That's cool. I wanted to go see where they did the underground shit and fucking Batman, but, you know, I'll just go fuck myself.
They couldn't find the tunnel entrance, man. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
But yeah.
87 different crackheads, but we couldn't find the fucking underground. Thanks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I saw that place from 8 Mile. That was pretty cool. The battle rap area. It's actually real close to my job.
Have you been to American Jewelry and Loan yet?
No, that's on the list. But what I did kind of find out while walking around, I was wearing, of course, a wrestling t-shirt, which is like 90% of my wardrobe at times. And I was talking to somebody out here, and the dude was like, "Oh, you like wrestling?" I go, "Yeah, you know, me and my friends do a show. We've been doing it for a good while now. And, you know, we're kind of big in the Chicagoland area. A lot of people notice at least one of our guys there. And the other part of the town knows the other guy because he talks to everybody. So, this guy. Yeah. DDJ has not met a stranger in Chicagoland area. So
he's not met a stranger.
He's just a friend you haven't met.
This is true. So I'm talking to the guy, and he was like, "Oh,
a kidnapper who hasn't found the right victim."
"Do you want to see my 4K Blu-rays?" Anyway.
Police Academy marathon in my place.
Jesus.
Oh, God, if that doesn't sound like you're fucking getting chopped up and put in the freezer tonight, I don't know what does.
If that works, that's just natural selection at that point.
You know, if I fucking die and I'm fucking, like, you know, watching fucking Tackleberry on this fucking screen, that's just going to be the worst way to fucking go, man, ever. Fucking ever. Dude, if I have to die with Steve Guttenberg, I just fucking end it fast, dude. I don't even.
And the hot chick in the show is Kim Cattrall? I mean, come on.
I hope my brain drops off every fucking chemical in my body so I just see a kaleidoscope of colors and just fucking just titties and asses and not fucking Steve Guttenberg.
DMT trip home.
Yeah.
Well, I ran into, like I said, I ran into somebody who was a pro wrestling fan, and guys, you know, talk to people. He told me about some of these indie promotions around the Detroit metro area. And long story short, I'm going to go to one here the first weekend of November and see the Motor City Machine Guns.
Nice.
The dude is actually like one of the ring crew. So he's like, oh, yeah, I should come over. We're going to get the Motor City Machine Guns. They're going to go against the tag team champions that are here. So, you know, got to meet somebody, talk some good wrestling. Probably going to go watch the Motor City Machine Guns. But you never know
next co-host.
These opportunities now until we're not bringing in no more strays. We've had you for a whole year, buddy. We're not bringing no one else in. We work. But yeah, just get out there. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Just you never know what a conversation about wrestling can lead to. As you guys heard, we're doing like Survivor Series at a fucking bar because Silver Wolf over there wore a t-shirt with the wrestling paraphernalia. So, you know, have fun with it. It's all yours, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I want to say thank you to Jovan, Joey, and Dennis, because I think it was last week or the week before it kind of got past me. It was 1 year since I started being a part of the show on a regular basis. And these guys brought me in and allowed me to find my way. And I know it wasn't always easy because I am a grouchy son of a bitch. And I do talk too much at home. Yeah, see, dude. You wonder why I'm grouchy. But I just want to say thank you, you guys. You guys, it's meant a lot to me to be a part of this and to watch it grow and see the success that we're having. For a guy who never had a brother growing up, I feel pretty goddamn lucky that, and I know there are times where we get on each other's nerves, and I know there's times I get on your nerves, but I think Joey was the one who had sent me a message the other day and said that, you know, that he appreciated what I brought to the show. But what he was more happy about was that he had another brother. And I'm just happy that I have one at all. So to the three of you, I love you all three very much. I appreciate and respect all three of you very much. And being a part of this has really been a lot of fun. And it's been amazing. Next week, I turn 53. So I'm really hoping for that 10 greatest rants because I really would like to see that. As a little ego stroke for myself. But I'm really excited about the opportunities and the things we've done since we started, man. Like getting together in Chicago on that weekend was just like the highlight of this year for me. When the year is over and we do our year-end show, I'm sure that is going to come up because that just meant the world to me. If that didn't bring us closer, that was either going to bring us closer together or blow us up. And it's obviously did blow us up because we're still doing this. So I appreciate that. So thank you, the three of you, but especially Dennis, thank you because you're the one who initially asked me to come on as a guest and be a part of it. And it just means the world to me to be able to do this with you guys every week. That's all I got.
Beautiful. I like that. It's a great sentiment to end on. You can either wipe your ass or walk around with your itchy ass. I love it. Somewhere my mother is just having a great time because that's her favorite saying right there.
Well, you know, your mom's a pretty smart lady.
You know, she's all right. She's all right with me. Gentlemen, we went a little over our normal hour, but I think we gave some good insight tonight.
Spirited too.
Oh yeah, we've got spirited, you know. It's Halloween season. So I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have a great evening. Thank y'all very much for staying with us. And have a good night.
What was that?
I had to sneeze. I'm not feeling well. Bye everybody. We love you. Joey, you got anything before we leave?
Anybody want a peanut?
I was waiting for a hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shoot and Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.